Peter began to speak to those assembled in the house of Cornelius. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by, by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. This is the gospel of the Lord.
May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today may well be Epiphany 1, but it's actually the baptism of Christ that we think about today. And in our gospel message, we're presented with this striking picture. John the Baptist is often called Jesus's forerunner because, in fulfillment of a prophecy of Isaiah, he was sent in advance of Jesus to prepare the way for the Lord. His message was to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. In other words, the Messiah was about to arrive and inaugurate his rule. In order to be ready for his coming, the people must repent and receive John's baptism as a sign of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. For repentance has to precede salvation. Now, John immediately knows that really it is he, John, who should be baptized by Jesus. But Jesus ensures that he is baptized by John. And then the heavens open and the Holy Spirit descends on him bodily like a dove. And a voice comes from heaven. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. So how are we to be challenged and transformed by this message? First, I want to look at what Jesus' baptism demonstrates to us. And second, I want to remind us of what our own baptism should and how that should make a difference to our own lives now. Well, the first thing, I guess, is leaders are, of course, encouraged to lead by example, to lead from the front. And here is a classic example of being led by example. Jesus himself is baptized. If he's going to expect all his followers down the millennia to be baptized, then, of course, he should set the way. He should show the way. Of course, the rest of us are being baptized as a sign of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. But Jesus was born without sin, yet he went through these waters of baptism. Why? Well, first, to show us the way. And second, for his own experience of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit descends, his Father's voice from heaven says, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." And few moments are as important as when heaven speaks, in this event and as in the Transfiguration. It's important, first, because Jesus is identified with the ministry of John. Jesus accepts baptism so that he can identify with John's message. When Jesus submits to this washing, he's declaring that John's message is true and that people must be prepared to receive salvation. They must repent. But the most important feature, however, is God's endorsement of his Son. God identifies Jesus as his Son as he anoints him for ministry. Let's not forget, Jesus is about 30 years old at this point. There's been a long time of preparation for this moment. And this event confirms the call of Jesus and names his function. This event acts almost as if it were a coronation for Jesus' ministry. Not by making him what he was not before, but by recognizing that now the beloved Son will launch out into actively exercising the authority he possesses. And what is the first thing that takes place? An almighty battle with Satan himself. You see, when we are spirit-filled, we are a threat, or we should be a threat, to the dominion of darkness. And so we shouldn't be surprised when we come under attack. The second thing I want to consider this morning is what effect our own baptism should have on our own lives. It is, of course, the initiation rite to become a Christian. There are lots of other, in some cases, far more painful rites of initiation as a sign of belonging to a religion. But it's so much more than just a rite of initiation. In baptism, sinners are buried with Jesus into his death and joined to him in his resurrection. Paul writes this in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 4. "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Thus, baptism constitutes the inauguration of the soul's life with God. In a very real way, it is the dawning day of eternity for every soul, every life born into this world in captivity to sin, blind, dead, and an enemy of God, spiritually speaking. Baptized into Christ, the soul, we are reborn to eternal life. That is the rebirth by water and the Spirit that we all experience when we were plunged into the death and resurrection of Jesus by the washing of water with the Word. being washed in the powerful name of Jesus, of the powerful name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, a person is cleansed of all sin and given a whole new life to live. It is fantastic. All the sin inherited from Adam and committed by that person himself is drowned and dies in the water. And in a very real way, Jesus takes the sinner, the sins and all, along with him into his death and buries those sins in this watery grave, never to rise again. Yet from that very water, a new person emerges, cleaned off, created in the image and likeness of the Lord, who by his sacred blood has ransomed every soul and cleansed them from all iniquity. It's just such fantastic news. I mean, if there is only one baptism, but I'm almost tempted to rip the cover off, fill it with water, and we can all just get rebaptized now. It's just such good news. Baptism, therefore, forms the hinge of a new life in Christ. And isn't it refreshing that there is only one single act that a person has to go through to become a Christian? It is the most wonderful and profound rite that Christians have gone through since the days of Jesus, with this breathtaking imagery. I hope that if we can't remember our own baptism, or perhaps if we were then confirmed more as just going through the motions and it's because something we really wanted to do ourselves, I hope we can understand this now, that to come to Jesus, one must seek forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness cannot occur except where one realizes one's responsibility for sin and the need for repentance. But it liberates us when we turn to God for forgiveness. This is of such seminal importance that this story is in all four of the Gospels. And in John's account of this event, he says two things. He says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And he says, he, talking about Jesus, will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Putting these two verses together, we see the characteristic work of Jesus is twofold. It involves a removal and a bestowal, taking away of sin and a baptizing with the Holy Spirit. These are the two great gifts of Jesus Christ, our Savior, forgiveness and the Spirit. Lord, as we are reminded of your baptism, we come to you having confessed our sins in penitence and faith. And we ask again today for a refilling of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.